something went on here, something went on there. And
today on Taggart and Torrens, we go out for a rip with B. Rich, play another rousing round of Poem Sand,
and we check in with Ronnie.
TNT starts right now.
Hi, Jonathan.
Jeremy Taggart, here we go again. How you doing, bud?
It's nice to see you through the, the phone line again. This is another Truro versus Toronto event, episode 6.
TNT, Truro and Toronto. It's never occurred to me before. We're
How
TNT
you been?
In every way. I've been good. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. I did cross the country with some drum clinics. I did Long McQuaid from the wonderful city of Winnipeg to the great city of Vancouver, and then everyone in between in the West. And a snowstorm kept me one time, and then strep throat kept me another time from coming out east. But I did almost the whole country. I got full bore Canadianity.
Nice.
I couldn't believe how amazing people are. I was kind of doing it, in my sense, the Stompin' Tom styles, just going city to city by myself. And
like a case of stubbies and a pack of darts and some broken dreams in a knapsack.
A lot of people helping out, giving rides and taking me to and from, and ran into some TNT fans across the country.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. I was in a snowstorm in Calgary, and I was carrying my luggage, and all of a sudden the guy goes, "Hey, Jeremy." I go, "What? What's going on?" He's like, "How's it going, man? Big fan of the podcast. Big fan of the TNT." He was a big fan of the Jay and Dan podcast, and
nice.
He's also a follower on the Twitter world, and it was throughout the clinics, a lot of people just talking about the podcast and the appreciation of an actual podcast that I guess in a sense centers on Canada because we love it so much.
Totally. Spoiler alert, next week's big episode is going to be the first annual Candies. That's our name for the awards for most Canadian in a variety of categories.
And this would be full-on favorite Canadian things with awards and including all kinds of special appearances by special Canadians.
Indeed. And we should let the folks know that if they want to get in touch with us on Twitter and let us know their votes for, say, most Canadian restaurant chain or album of all time or most Canadian band, most Canadian individual, most Canadian song, most Canadian TV show, most Canadian movie, most Canadian sentiment, most Canadian moment, anything that strikes you as being exceptionally Canadian, we want to hear. And we should let it be known that the great Ronnie Taggart will be determining who he thinks is the greatest Canadian.
And that will be something to behold.
And the great Ronnie Taggart will be determining what he thinks is the most Canadian trait.
Or quality.
Yep. Equality.
Have you noticed that fashion, in a sense, has become Canadian, more the camping Canadian, or perhaps for Ontarians, the Muskoka, or I don't know what you would call, and say in Cole Harbour, when you put on your patterned shirt with the moose on it, perhaps some tights for the family. And now this has become the trend with hipsters in New York and London. What's up with this?
See, I'm going to say that folks in rural Canada are maybe still wearing things sincerely that hipsters are wearing ironically. And maybe that's why it seems like a fashion craze that's everywhere. Is that possible?
It's saddening. I don't know. Like to be a young band, it's almost like you got to cave in to the leggings and these ridiculous, you know, kind of Bill Cosby pattern, Vicky Gabbro style patterns on sweaters, it's just I don't know if I could do that again.
Have you seen Pajama Jeans?
Yes.
Pajamajeans.com. It's an infomercial based on the principle that nowadays folks are so busy. Who has time at the end of the day to get out of their clothes and get into their pajamas? Well, good news. Now you don't have to worry about it. The same argument is made for who has time in this hustle and bustle world to get out of bed in the morning, get dressed in your clothes. Well, now you don't have to. You can just wear pajama jeans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Do you live on the internet? try pajama jeans. Yeah, you know, exactly. You can see it. Is your life online? Why not take your clothes online?
Right.
Pajama jeans.
Pajama jeans. It's not a garment. It's a lifestyle you're buying into.
How did you find your couple of weeks off over the past? You had quite a little snowstorm. How's that going?
I guess you and I took a March break. We both have young families, and we wanted to party with our critters and give the good listeners a break from what it is we're up to. It was good. It's the never ending winter, as much of a cliche as it is to speak about this. Like, we just keep getting donkey fisted by snow out here in Nova Scotia. But the nice thing is I've been back in the Trailer Park Boys writer's room. And so, I've been getting together with the three boys to try to, dream and plan for season 9, because in the time since we've been together, the big Netflix deal was announced. Netflix has put up seasons 1 through 7. I think they went up officially on April 1st. And season 8 is in the can. And season 9, we're shooting in May and June.
Stoners unite across North America.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not to mention the third movie opens April 18th, I believe, across the country in Canada. This is the show that that will not die. People just love it. And according to the three boys, who, as you know, tour a lot through the States and in Europe and Australia and everywhere, the show's just kind of starting to take off in some of those other places. So even though folks in Canada might have kind of been through the cycle, people everywhere else are suddenly trying to find it and start to dig it.
I got to say that in a sense, they're doing it right in terms of accepting what it is and what they are, but also, you know, being smart and trying to keep it funny, because, you know, you guys are all funny people and funny writers individually anyway. But just to, I guess, capitalize it in the live form, but also realizing that the demand was so high, to kind of take that risk of what happened with buying back everything and all that kind of stuff and rolling the dice in a sense. And it's paying off. It seems like
it's wild. And the crazy challenge, it's been interesting to kind of be back in that mindset and figure out, from a writing standpoint, the challenge has always been to shake it up a little bit. Do you take the guys out of the park? Then it stops being Trailer Park Boys. Do you bring new characters into the park? The audience kind of bucks against new characters. So if you're kept with the same characters in the same park, what do you do to make it fresh and keep it unique? Fortunately, there's a lot of big brains in that room and that have worked on it over the years, and a lot of miles to still go. Hey, do you want to know an interesting kind of piece of trivia around Trailer Park?
For sure.
After the second season, the show was getting a bit of traction in Canada, and an American producer, whose name was Greg, came up and approached the Trailer Park producers about taking the format. Did I tell you this?
No.
So they thought a lot about it. He didn't want to buy the show. He wanted to buy the format and make another version of Trailer Park Boys in the States. Mm-hmm. And Mike Clattenburg and Mike Volpe and Barry Dunn, the producers, thought about it. And they're like, I don't know. Like, you're going to recast Bubbles? Like, one of the reasons that it kind of works is because of the lightning in a bottle of the cast. So the guy was like, all right, I'm going to make my own version of that show.
And I remember this now. Yeah, this is, I'm starting to remember. So what happened?
He made My Name is Earl.
Yeah, there you go.
The NBC show, which on the surface is not the same as Trailer Park, but if you know that bit of info, you can kind of see how one spawned the other.
Totally makes sense looking back. So here's another show that in a sense has kind of brought on that culture as well through America in the last, you know, 8-10 years. So it's that culture now of Netflix, where people just spend the $8 or give their buddies a password and live on Netflix. People are just watching shows no matter what, in a sense. And that is kind of the staple for a lot of people, is that show and the history and those going through those seasons and just, you know, getting into the depths of it. It's insane.
Well, again, it's a little thing, but from a writing standpoint, since we've been considering that this will air on Netflix, little things like a well-timed commercial break dramatically, when you know you pause for a couple of minutes and you come back to the next act, you don't actually have that in writing for a Netflix show. So you still write a show that has 3 acts, but you don't get to have the luxury of 2 minutes of palate cleanser between acts. My wife and I started watching Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And you just devour episode after episode after episode.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's binge watching.
I remember, you know, being on the road, we would do that with the Trailer Park Boys on the tapes anyway. You know, you get used to watching episode after episode, and that's become what it is programming your life to whatever you like to listen to. Tim here, our wonderful engineer, producer, fella, he was in South by Southwest enjoying the nice warmth the past 2 weeks.
Hey, T-Biscuit, hop on the mic real quick.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
All right. Good. How you doing, man?
I'm very well, thank you.
So in my mind's eye, everyone at South by Southwest looks like an extra in the Come On Eileen video. Folks have glasses with no prescriptions, and their collars are buttoned all the way, and beards, like just lots of beards. Is that in fact how it was for you guys, the Arkells?
There's definitely, yes, a lot of beards, as there have been for a few years now, I would say. No shortage of the top button done up. And what is with those fake glasses? Like, it's almost offensive to me to people that wear glasses. Like, the two guys in the band that do, I don't think would let me pull that.
Did you find yourself to be seeing a lot of leggings and odd pattern shirts, though?
Yeah, of course. It's like the American Apparel ads, almost. A lot of interesting shirt patterns and a lot of leggings. I would say there's a lot of women with the hair in the bun.
So what are the kids wearing at South by Southwest this year? It'd be funny if, like, the generations are getting so much shorter that this year, 2013, is in. So it's like stuff from 3 months ago that people are wearing again.
It went from those neon sunglasses to
pajama jeans.
Pajama jeans.
I'm actually noticing there's a lot more of that, what do they call it? Layrite? You know what that is?
What is that?
It's like that hair, it looks like grease that you put in your hair. It's like,
oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Well, like, what's that stuff they used to put in the barber shops? Like, what, they get that slick haircut?
I'm going
to
do that.
Crazy.
Like, oil in your, so you full on look like, you know, the jailhouse rock hair?
Exactly.
It's like Brill Cream.
Brill cream. That's it. Yes, exactly. It's like right out of grease.
Pomade?
Sure.
Pomade's pretty 2011, bud.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
That's how you get your Ken doll hair, though, Jonathan.
Yeah, it is. I have a Gérald Depardieu thing going now.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's heinous.
Wow. I think you should maybe share a photo for the Taggart and Torrance.
By the way,
feed.
You have a Russell Crowe circa Master and Commander going.
I do, definitely. I'm ready for the fighting on the deck.
So, Tim, Austin's a good food town. What did you put in your mouth?
Oh, man. We've been fortunate enough to go for the past, 3 years now. And this is the first year we didn't get a chance to get some great barbecue, and only as a result of the lines.
Ooh. Is it, you know, one thing, it's gotten out of control big, right? Like, the sponsors went from, you know, Stubbs Barbecue to now Red Bull and Google, right?
Oh, yeah, it's massive. Like, I mean, it's been big the 3 years we've been anyway, it seemed huge. But now it's like any accessory that you can think of, from even an iPhone.
Wow.
Well, yeah, like iPhone accessory. We played this showcase for a company called Mophie, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but basically it's a case that gives you extended battery and memory.
Yeah.
To your iPhone, and I'm sure other platforms as well. Anyway, like, they have this massive showcase and presence, as well as like other, you know, apps.
Wow.
Yeah, like Snapchat.
Weren't the headliners like Coldplay and Celine Dion or something? Like, it's so mainstream now.
Yeah. I think Kanye played this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mike Tyson talking.
Wow.
Hey, speaking of, you know, the trends and the Canadian kind of cottage wear becoming popular, we're going to talk to B Rich coming up. He's kind of a purveyor and an ambassador for Canadianity.
He is.
And he's definitely going to have a huge take on that stuff. Let's speak to him in a minute. Okay, Jonathan?
Sounds good.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
All right, on the phone with us now, B Rich, the creator of the 5 million viewed on YouTube hit Out for a Rip. How you doing, B Rich?
I'm doing fantastic. How you guys doing?
Really well.
Great. Really nice.
At what point did you know Out for a Rip was blowing up?
I mean, it was crazy right off the bat. It got like, it exceeded by leaps and bounds what I thought it was going to do. Like, it did like 20,000 views overnight. And I was kind of like, well, that's crazy. And then it I kind of thought after that that it might have just been like, oh, yeah, this would be cool for a couple of days. But it definitely got out of hand after that, yeah.
I think I got an email from Nicole Garbutt, who used to work at The Edge. She's like, hey, you might think this is funny. And it was like, I think at that point I had like 16,000 views. And then I was like, yeah, it's not only funny, but it's got a hook to it. And then I remember me and Jonathan were just like together the next day, and I played it for him, and he was like, yeah, man. And, you know, obviously J-Rock approved, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And I think the most interesting thing is you obviously have real flow, and you have to be able to rap, even to make a funny rap song. Tell us about your kind of history as a rapper.
I've been at it for a while now. Like, I started when I was, it's coming up on like 20 years, I guess. Had a few projects over the years. One band in Kingston I've been with for almost 20 years. Actually released a children's album last year. That was my like hustle that I was working on for a while.
Nice.
Which a lot of people would be kind of skeptical about, knowing kind of the nature of the material, but that was legit. Like, we were playing in schools and parks and assemblies and stuff, and it's all awesome. On kind of like Beastie Boys for like toddlers, basically. But yeah, there's that, and then another group, a group of mine called Shark Tank, which is me and some homies from Baltimore and Pittsburgh down the States. So yeah, I've been working on all kinds of stuff, and it's pretty funny that stuff that this is the thing that like pops.
So where did this where did it come out of? Like, just you hanging out with your friends and just kind of realizing the lifestyle that exists, and in a sense, like, what brought you to the idea of doing it? And when you actually put it together, did you think, hey, this is exactly kind of what I was talking about, in a sense?
I guess it came about just mostly from hanging out, doing some recording down in the States with the guys in the group Shark Tank. And, we always sort of like, we've always talked in our local dialect, ended up like the Pittsburgh slang and Baltimore and the Canadian, like sort of the hoser speak. And yeah, one day they were just like, man, you should drop a whole track like that. And, it was a long process. It was just kind of like, it sat for a while. And then one day I was like, oh, maybe I'll like write that hoser track. And it came together really quick. Mostly because of that kind of like, that's how I grew up. And that's kind of I've always done that voice and that character just cause I love it. But, so I guess, because it was a natural thing, the track came to light pretty quick. Like, I wrote it in like half an hour, 45 minutes.
Awesome. Tell the gas station story. I was just reading this.
Yeah. That was, again, sort of another piece in the puzzle that, like, over a couple of years, really, of things happening. But I was on my way to my folks' place in Tamworth from Kingston, where I live. And I stopped at the gas bar. I always stop at, it's about halfway there. And this little like kind of hockey kid was filling up my gas tank, and he just like he stuck his whole head in the window of my van, and he was like, "Just go for a rip, are you, bud?"
I wonder if that kid's put it together. I wonder if that kid today is like, that guy owes me royalties. That was me.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. It's funny because I've talked to some of the people at the gas station often. I still go there all the time, and the kid's long since, moved out of town or doesn't work there anymore, to my knowledge. But one of these days, I'm going to get the lawyer hitting me up for money.
I don't know, man. I think we've all used that phrase. I mean, I know my history back in the day on tour of like, having a joint or something, smoking some weed on tour where you don't want to. That for me was a sneaky rip, or, going for a sneaky rip, trying to find the, go to the hotel bathroom fan or whatever it
is.
So
you were in for a rip.
Hiding in some, dingy alley. Total sneaky rips all over the place. But I remember one time I was, I think, in Michigan or Detroit one time, like years ago. And I was, in the bathroom fan that was, I always would test by putting a napkin in. If it fell flat against really hard, that would guarantee that it had a good flow. So this one was doing that.
This is my comb test.
So this thing was, this was cooking. So I was ripping in there, no sweat, but all of a sudden I hear this like
Hey, what the fuck is going on in here? What the hell's going on? I'm here. I'm like, oh no, man, this is going directly in someone's room. So, I kind of waited for a while, this was a day off. So in a couple hours later, and there was no problem. And all of a sudden I did it again. And I go up there and I have another sneaky rip. And all of a sudden this guy, what the fuck, man, that's it. And I hear him calling the front desk. So I start freaking out. I brew some coffee. I pour half the coffee in the toilet. And I'm worried.
You broke a cologne jar?
Yeah, I'm worried. All of a sudden, the door knocks. And I look, and I'm waiting. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening? And I see at the bottom, I see two people. And I look, and I see one guy. And he actually bends down to sniff under the door. And just as he bends down to sniff under the door, I pull the door open. So he's on his knees. And I go, what the heck's going on here? What's going on? And he's like, excuse me, sir. I thought I smelled something in here. And he comes. I go, I'm not. What are you talking about? And he's like, smells like coffee. sorry. And he leaves. And the coffee worked. But boy, I was almost done for right there. But that's the sneaky rips on the road. Like, it's an existing term. They can backfire.
Good day for the sneaky rip.
So when you're hanging with your friends in the States, obviously there are Canadian cliches, like we say A and we say a boot, and at a certain point it's not funny. This song is so full of cliches, and yet Canada has embraced it in a great way. Does this mean we're at a point in our history where we can laugh at ourselves? What do you think is the appeal of this song?
I think I don't know, I guess there's apparently there's an element of relatability that everybody seems to identify with. You know, everybody knows somebody in their immediate circle of friends and family that is that guy in the video or talks like that, or even just I have a lot of friends that aren't true, hosers, if you were, but everybody's still Bud is huge everywhere I go.
It's so good. Yeah.
Bud's just a part of the language, and the timing of the video itself it was just really good timing, and maybe we are at a point when we're ready to really laugh at ourselves. But
I imagine you've probably been to some pretty good house parties lately, if you maybe went to any. Have you ever been to a bush party? Could you imagine this summer? Hey, look who it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's a couple of bush parties that we just got back from a couple weeks touring, mostly out west. And I think as a result of that, we may have gotten some contracts to play some actual bush parties.
Awesome. That's full on. Awesome. You know what? Have you gotten some big wig weirdos kind of coming out of the woodwork when you're playing gigs at all? Like, I remember when the Trailer Park Boys would show up, and if people knew they were there, all of a sudden, some loaded guy comes and wants you to take you somewhere or something. Has that happened to you yet, crossing the country? Or
Fuck yes. Yeah, man.
People want to take you out for a rip.
Especially because of the nature of the song, I would say every, at least once in every stopper, there would be the guy. he's oh, fuck, Bud, I seen your video, I'm the fucking king of the rippers in fucking Nelson or Mission or wherever you are. And they're I got the biggest fucking truck in town. When you're done your show, we're going for a fucking rip. And they're there's dead serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough thing because it's really cool that people are that into it, but at the same time, you have to explain. You're look, I'm actually at work right now. This is kind of my job, and I'm here to have a good time. But gotta keep. I'm on my own rip right now. I'm on a business rip.
Yeah, they want a party. Rip. That's it. They want a party, though, man. That's the thing. They're serious about. You know how it is, Jonathan. If someone's out and they recognize you and they remember you, they feel they have that connection where it's like. If they're an entitled rich guy,
of course,
you're on it and you're getting you got to play along or else you're going to have a problem.
Well, yeah, hop in the car because you have to see my uncle's Bubbles impression. All right, here we go. I my favorite Bud is when people use it as a threat, hey, back off, Bud. Yeah. They're still calling you a friend, but this could go sideways at any minute. Or calm down, Bud.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Bud, you got to play my kid's drums. You're coming.
Yeah, don't let me down, Bud. So as a serious rapper and as somebody who has done kids record, for example, guys like John Mayer, when he released My Body's a Wonderland, he's like, man, it kind of backfired because it's not really what I'm about. Or Dan Hill with Sometimes When We Touch, he was a serious folky. Is it a little bittersweet that your legacy is potentially comic rapper, or are you just happy to be here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's one I've been like sort of thrown back and forth since it all happened. And I think in the end, it's like I've always looked at stuff I've done with music is like I'm not real dead set on having a serious thing. Like I really just like to entertain people by any means necessary. That's why the Kids Act was a fun challenge. And it is a little weird trying to figure out how to navigate it from here on out. Like it's
right.
People are expecting the follow-up track, which I'll be working on imminently. But
it does have a narrative. Sorry to interrupt, but like no, just no. as someone who listens to it, it is funny, but it's like with rap in a sense, it has a narrative and it's kind of cultural and it's more, I guess, comic, yes, but I guess tongue in cheek, which a lot of rappers have kind of used. Even Eminem can have almost parody videos. Yeah. So I guess in a sense you could keep it in the ballpark, just in terms of your reference point.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff. I have a solo album that I recorded a few years ago and never put out, and that was the material I was doing a lot of on this past tour, and a lot of it just sort of naturally kind of has like. I don't know, it's got like a blue collar aesthetic just because that's my upbringing. A lot of like references to chainsaws and, you know, the woods and stuff like yeah. that. And so that stuff actually went over really well on the tour, which I was really, really happy to see. Like people responded well to it wasn't like every night, like 60 out of 300 people being like, I'm for a rap. Like,
blue collar rap just might be a genre that you've invented. That's yeah. awesome.
For sure.
Seems like, I mean, especially in Canada, just given the nature of our population and how widespread it is and how rural it is, I feel like it's an interesting challenge because a lot of the people that like Out for a Rip are definitely not rap fans.
Right. Look at Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, man, that shit's crazy.
Yeah. If you can popularize something that's constant throughout the country, you're going to see some greenbacks, my friend.
Be cool. I mean, I'm just all about just being on the road as much as possible and just putting on a show, and to be able to get paid for it is like, it's like unheard of in the Canadian rap game for me. It's definitely a yeah. first.
Hey, what about a TV show?
I'm all about everything, man. I mean, there's been some interesting opportunities coming up, I'm just trying to like stay up on. You know, anywhere that I can get out and have some fun and meet new people and work on creative stuff, really. So it's like TV, you know, music videos, music. To me, it all just seems so exciting and fun to tackle.
I know a thrill for me early on in the Trailer Park thing was when I started to get props from actual, you know, guys making it as real rappers in Canada. Have you come across like a Cardinal Official or Classified or any of those guys around, or have they reached out to say we like what you're doing?
I haven't heard directly from any like Canadian rap dudes. It's interesting because the agency that booked the tour that I was on does a fair bit of work with Mad Child and Swollen Members, and I was kind of curious to see, like, I'd love to just like be on a fly on the wall for any of the, you know, the main Canadian MCs and see if they're
sure.
like Buddy's a fucking joke, or if they're, you know, if they're getting a kick out of it.
I can't see them not thinking it's great because, you know, it's definitely got intelligence written all over it. And even if it is funny.
Yeah, I would hope people are down. I think I'm sure at some point, you know, hopefully I'm going to be doing a bunch of festival gigs over the summer. So it'll be a good chance to actually get out. And the tour we did, I was mostly just doing, we were the only act on the bill. Like people were just bringing us in. So it'd be a lot cooler to be able to play with other artists and just see what the feedback is from some of the cats that I've listened to for, you know, the years coming up.
Well, with a toolkit like the one you have and the ability to actually write and perform good rap, if this novelty song, for lack of a better term, is what got you here, man, your skills and stuff is that's what'll keep you here. And I can't wait to hear what you do next.
Thanks a lot for coming on, brother.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And hopefully we'll bump into you guys somewhere down the road.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Take care. Be rich.
Right on, dude. Do you have a good
Peace
one?
Peace out.
Where's my beer chair?
All right, Jeremy, here we go again. It's time for round two of Poem Sand for the people that didn't hear it the first time.
Aww.
It sounds surprisingly easy. Here's what you have to do. You have to read the lyrics of a cheesy song as designated by the other guy, and you have to do it without laughing.
Yes, which...
Hard, right?
It well, seemingly, yes. Seemingly not, too. It's also depends on the song. Sometimes, let's hope we get through this again.
Sometimes, when we touch, it's hard.
Yes.
So the song that I've picked for you, you're going to go first. I have picked... this is a cheesy earworm by a rock combo, if you can call them that, called Hinder.
Oh.
The song is Lips of an Angel. And just to give a bit of context, you should have the lyrics in front of you now. To give a bit of context, I think the gist of it is this guy's side piece is calling him up and it's not an appropriate time to talk. Hinder, Lips of an Angel, that's your song on Poem Sand.
Okay.
Good luck.
I got it right here in front of me. Lips of an Angel. Honey, why you calling me so late? It's kind of hard to talk right now. Honey. Why are you crying? Is everything okay? I gotta whisper, because I can't be too loud. While my girl's in the next room, sometimes I wish she was you. I guess we never really moved on. It's really good to hear your voice saying my name. It sounds so sweet. Coming from those lips of an angel. Hearing those words makes me weak. And I never want to say goodbye, but girl, you make it hard to be faithful with the lips of an angel.
That was pretty good. You made it through the first chorus without laughing.
I did. I kind of choked for a minute there, but... Okay, let me try and get through the second verse.
All right.
It's funny that you're calling me tonight. And yes, I've dreamt of you too. And does he know you're talking to me? Will it start a fight? No, I don't think she has a clue. Well, okay, that's enough. I can't do this. All right.
Wow.
That's good. That's pretty good. I got through that pretty good. I have tears in my eyes. I don't know why I was fighting it so much, but whew.
It's also, if you've ever heard the song, it's made infinitely cheesier by the guys.
Yeah. The tone. Totally, totally.
It's like thrust rock.
Yeah, no, that's kind of like the cliched song for the emotional mad at your dad rock.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, I've got one for you for Poem Sayin'.
Okay.
Jonathan, the song is Rock Voisine.
Oh, wow. Helen?
This is, no. Oh, Kissing Rain, actually.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Helen might be a little bit too much for you.
I thought it was either Helen or I'll Always Be There. Kissing Rain.
Kissing Rain.
Way to
is...
throw me a curveball.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, Poem Sayin', here comes Falling Rain.
Kissing Rain.
Is that what it's called? Kissing Rain.
Yeah.
Kissing Rain. Oh, my
God. Rock voisine, Canadianity, Québécois.
Oui, c'est vrai. Here comes another night of falling rain. Your memory flickers like a flame. It echoes like a distant tune, dances on the four walls of my room. With hair as black as a book of prayer, your laughter filled the morning air. Now it doesn't seem so long ago, but how we ever parted, I don't know. Where are you now, so far away? If only somehow the night would disappear and I could have you here. There's a breeze on the water blowing time back to me. I can still see your face, kissing rain. That is garbage.
It's so not romantic at all.
It's not romantic at all.
Oh, man.
I'm going to guess maybe it's an ESL thing. Maybe it's an English as a second language thing where...
I don't know. That kind of had like a... Like I was reading it in a grade two, you know, grade book or something. It was like bad poetry. Like I'm sorry.
Dr.
That was
Dr. Seuss's.
That was a failure. That was a bad one.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say it was bad. It was a good warm-up. Let's get to round two.
Okay, round two.
I picked another song for you. It's by a rock combo called Roxette.
Roxette.
And the song is The Look.
Oh, my God. Roxette, The Look. I remember this song.
Like a raindrop.
I remember this one on the Much Music back when I was a kid.
Yeah, you do.
Holy moly. Steve Anthony all fired up, throwing to The Look.
Was he ever fired up?
With the red cowboy boots?
Yeah.
Okay. I got it up right here.
All right. So this is Poem Saying, round two, Roxette, The Look. Take it away.
One, two, three, four, walking like a man, hitting like a hammer. She's a juvenile scam. Never was a quitter. Tasty like a raindrop. She's got the look. Heavenly bound, cause heaven's got a number. When she's spinning me around, kissing is a color. Her loving is a wild dog. She's got the look. She's got the look. She's got the look. What in the world can make a brown-eyed girl turn blue when everything I'll ever do, I'll do for you? And I go, la, 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 she's got the look.
Okay, this is the verse that's going to take you down.
Okay. Fire in the ice. Naked to the T-bone.
Yeah.
Is a lover's disguise. Banging on the head drum. Shaking like a mad bull. She's got the look. All right, that's enough.
What on earth is that song about?
That is ridiculous. Aren't they from like Germany or... Eastern Bloc, Europe or something.
Norway, maybe?
I don't want that. That's definitely another one of those, like, let's just put... Is that a Max Martin jam?
Yeah.
It probably is.
It doesn't even have to be in English. It doesn't even have to make sense.
Stockholm, Sweden.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, a Swedish pop rock duo consisting of Marie Fredriksson and the other guy.
All right, what's my round two song?
Your round two song is Starland Vocal Band's Afternoon Delight.
Oh, man.
Poem Saying, go for it.
Okay. Oh, man. This will not be easy.
This is a good one.
Afternoon Delight. Well, are you going to make the pew sound effects?
No, I don't. I think you can feel them as you go.
Gonna find my baby. Gonna hold her tight. Gonna grab some afternoon delight. See, my motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always going to be there anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. And the thought of rubbing you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight. That was where you're supposed to hop on with the pew.
Oh, sorry.
Pew. Sky rockets in flight.
Pew.
Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight. Started out this morning feeling so polite. I always thought a fish could not be caught who wouldn't bite. But you've got some bait a-waiting, and I think I might like having a little afternoon delight. It's a good one.
Pew!
Pew!
That was a pretty good one. But, you know, you kind of... It's tough, but it's it was also not too tough.
It's not too tough, but it's the kind of thing that once it gets in your head, then you're done.
Yeah,
and if you hear
sure.
the other guy laughing, you're done.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm renovating. We have a trailer, a 1966 Airstream.
Nice.
We're renovating, and so one of the things that we're doing is putting new chairs in the little kitchen part. In fact, we're putting in stools. They have to be narrow because we only have a certain amount of area for them. So I Googled narrow stools. Didn't even occur to me for a moment that Google Images would some medical feedback on the phrase narrow stools.
So how did that...
I guess all that to say, don't search narrow stools.
I'm assuming a lot of people like to document narrow stools.
I guess they do. And apparently it's a medical thing.
There's probably some YouTube videos on how to do it.
How to have narrow stools. I don't know if it's something you want or something you don't want because I closed it so fast. But I guess I liken poem saying to I didn't see narrow stools coming. And that's like some of those lyrics in Poem Saying, like you're sailing along and you're doing okay. And then you just hit a lyric like tasty like a raindrop. And you're like, what does that even mean?
Tidy's calling you Studley.
How you doing, Rockin' Ronnie?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. You're not frozen into a snowbank or anything?
Are you kidding? There's enough snow around. You just have to look outside. You walk into a snowbank.
do you remember a worse winter, Ronnie?
Do I? No, not as much snow, man. I've never seen that so much snow in my life.
It's ridiculous. You know, Dad, I remember like in maybe the early 80s, we had that one winter in Mansfield where it was like...
Oh, yeah. You remember that evening?
Yeah, it was like 83 or 4. There was probably like equivalent. I remember like 11-foot snowbanks for the whole winter and getting...
That's right. We got home at 9 o'clock.
Getting a month of school off.
We got home at 9, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It was horrendous.
But actually, it's Jonathan who's feeling the worst of it right now, Dad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because the East Coast got hammered pretty hard.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, plus we got a lot of snow.
The winter's everywhere. We're supposed to go down to -9 again tonight.
I think the problem is when it starts in January and it's over in, you know, end of March, that's one thing. But it started here in November and it's in April and there's still no real sign of it being done.
No, not yet, man. I'm waiting. But I think it's here. It's coming just around the corner now. Get your shirts out and your suntan lotion and your glasses.
Summer's a state of mind. That's right.
That's right. It's coming.
There's always some dude when it's -7... who's wearing shorts to the liquor store.
Migratory birds are happening around here.
The migratory birds are coming?
Little red ones, you know.
That's a sign.
What the hell, where's the spring?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, anyway. So how's everything else?
Everything's good, Dad. So we need to catch everybody up. We had a passing in the family. Molly, your beloved dog, passed away.
My loving dog.
You and mom were pretty banged up about that.
Give the dog a hug today.
Yeah.
Everybody, and hug your kids, too.
Hey, yeah, my condolences, Ronnie. How old was Molly?
Oh, she was like 9, just almost 10. It was a shame, but, you know, they come and go, and you love them when they're here. You sure miss them.
That's true.
Yeah,
I would have had lots of dogs. We're thinking of getting another one almost.
Do it. I told you, you gotta get a small one so you can be portable.
Yeah, something really small, yeah.
Hey, we got a 1-pound dog.
Yeah, I got a Chihuahua or something. It'll live for 50 years or something. I don't know.
Nah.
I actually got a parakeet. Oh, shit, don't tell me I cut him off.
No, you didn't, Dad. We're still here. It's all good. Dad!
I think he panic hung up.
I think he did. I think he got upset and thought he hung up.
Yeah.
He's gone. We got to get him back on, man.
Okay, we're back.
I'm back, too. I pushed the wrong button. I think I pushed one of those buttons. I'm not used to these new fandangled phones, man.
New fandangled phones. That thing's from like 1997.
these phones with no cord.
Cordless, yeah.
That's got
to
cord.
Hey, Ronnie, I want to tell you what we're doing next week, and we need your help with it.
Uh-huh.
We're doing what we are calling the Candies. It's the award for the most Canadian things. Could be a restaurant chain, could be most Canadian actor. Don't say your answers now because I want you to think about it.
Relic.
But Jeremy have decided
Oh, Robert Clothier, good one.
Nice. Jeremy and I have decided that you have to figure out what the most Canadian quality is. Don't say it right now. Don't say it right now. Think about it.
I'll think about it, yeah.
Yeah, most Canadian quality. And being a guy who came into the country at a young age and had a good feel for what
right.
coming here is, what you felt that the best...
And Ron Collier Quintet, you remember that?
No, I'm... What
you
is that?
That?
No. Ron Collier?
Ron Collier.
Dave Coulier?
Bob Cole?
Jazz back in the 60s in Toronto was pretty good. You know, there was some good jazz guys around.
Ron Collier.
Yeah. It was a drummer.
I think it's safe to say there's a name on the tip of all Canadians' tongues.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll think about it.
Hey, you know what? Dad, remember your old drum teacher?
Oh, Howie Ray.
Yeah, what show did he work on, Dad?
Oh, all kinds of shows.
No, the most famous Canadianity show of all time for kids, The Friendly Giant.
Come on.
He was on that show. Yeah, he was the drummer in the show.
Wow.
Friendly Giant, eh? Oh, right. He was on Howie Ray, was on The Friendly Giant.
Yeah, man, that's heavy Canadianity.
Is it ever? Bob Domi, wasn't it? Wasn't that his name?
That was The Friendly Giant's name, yeah, right?
Oh, shit.
But Howie Ray was in the band.
Ray, I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what happened to him. He was a good teacher, I'll tell you.
Nice.
He used to play down at the First Floor Club all around Toronto. We'd go see him every Saturday night.
What's not to like?
Hey, Dad, remember that time you met Buddy Rich?
Met Buddy Rich, yeah. That was a great... That was down in the Empire State Building in New York.
Yeah, what happened?
That was cool, man. He invited us into the room and everything, but we were with other people at the time and got to get back to the table, eh?
You said it was really friendly and it smelled kind of funny in the dressing room, right?
Oh, a little bit of funny, yeah. I didn't really know what it was at the time. Before that era.
Smelled funny how?
Anyway.
It turned out Buddy liked to burn. For real.
No.
Buddy burns up the sticks, I'll tell you.
He was out for a rip.
He was.
Yeah.
For sure. Everybody always would say that Buddy Rich had this terrible quality of being mean to everybody, but my dad, yeah, he said he was really perfectly gentleman type fella.
I think he was a perfectionist, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, while people got up and started to dance while he was playing.
Yep.
And he stood up, he stopped the fucking thing, walked down to the front there and got onto the mic. So if you want to dance, go down the dance line, down his feet.
No way, that's...
Wow.
And that was his mother and father.
Nah!
He wasn't that bad. No, I'm only kidding.
No, but they were an older couple, right?
Yeah, he threw them out.
That was awesome.
The Empire State Building, man. Biggest club in New York City. Fuck you. You can't see the other side of the room. Wow. Anyway, that was a great occasion.
It was a different time.
Different time.
Hey, Ronnie, we'll talk to you next week for the candies.
Thanks for calling, man, and love you all down there.
Thanks, Dad.
Take care of everybody.
You too, bud.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
When I'm with you.
That was another wonderful episode. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
It was. It's good to be back. Hey, can I tell you something?
What's that?
I'm really fired up for the candies.
Oh, me too.
I'm really excited for next week's Canadian Awards. And I'm hoping this will incite a lot of online debate. Weigh in often,
yeah.
And let us know who you think is deserving of. By the way, if you're listening, create your own categories.
Yes.
Best egg roll in Canada. Best Canadian moment. Best day of the year to be Canadian. Make up your own categories.
Why is your city the best city?
Right.
What's so fancy about your restaurant in Winnipeg? Tell me about the Greasy Spoon in Regina. We want to hear about it.
And maybe we'll decide to honor one of your categories with a candy next week on Taggart and Torrance. In the meantime, keep it Canadian.
Hey, we also want to drop that the Arkells new single's coming out next week. So listen
Can't
for
wait
that,
to hear that,
kiddos. How about that?
T-Biscuit. On the ones and twos, recording the podcast, Moonlights in a rock combo called the Arkells. By gum, if they aren't just the gitchiest band in Canada right now.
Big time. And they're the best.
As the kids say.
They're young boys. And you know what? You know, they're all over 6 feet, except for one of them. No, two of them now.
And you know, they all wear pajama jeans. That's kind of their hook.
Yeah, they don't do the leggings, but they do the pajama jeans.
They do jeggings.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Talk to you next week, bud.
See you, bud.
See you, bud.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. This rap shit is mine. It's what you're hearing.